anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anemone.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela, and I almost started my own warp core breach for one of my clients, and I am an anomaly.
I'm Jen. I survived the Bolian brain pox, and I am an anomaly. Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
That was a good choice.
You like it?
I really do. That was a good choice. I'm glad you went with that.
Also known as the super flu or the cooties.
One of the reasons we haven't recorded in a while is because I spent most of December with some sort of super
whatever. All of your family.
Yeah, my family, all of them got sick, and they were all sick for probably about 15 days. So that's like half a month, right?
Yeah.
And then I got sick right after that. Then my daughter got some sort of allergies that just made it so she didn't sleep, which was wonderful for all of us, let me tell you. And then once that finished, I got sick again. So I got it twice. And then you got sick.
I didn't. Aaron got sick first. It was the flu. So he had it for a week. Then David got it. I shouldn't have bragged. That's what happened, because I was like, I have the best immune system ever. And then, boom, Bolian brain pox.
Bolian brain pox. Yeah, I'm very glad you went with that. I know that my clients don't listen to my podcast, which is why, and I don't mind saying this, I learned some important lessons about deleting files off of FTP. So there's that.
I'm not laughing.
I thought I was going to die. It was so terrible. But I was able to fix it. And you know why I was able to fix it? Is because I keep backups of everything. And I had forgotten that I kept a backup of this. And I'm so, like, the moment I found that config file, I burst into tears. Because as long as I had the config file, I could build the site again, you know?
Well, I'm glad you were able to do that. So
thank you.
We've been neck deep in crap going on.
We really have.
We're really sorry we haven't put anything out. I don't think anyone really missed us anyway.
They did.
We haven't heard, like, where's our show, like we usually do. But I do know a lot of you out there are also struggling with the flu.
Yes.
And so I know for a fact that Rick Pete has the flu.
Lame.
And poor guy.
That's terrible.
I'm sure more of you are. Please, if you haven't had your shot yet and you don't have the flu, go get it. It's really bad. I never get the flu. And I do have a good immune system. But I know someone sneezed on me at the gym. You know, or Aaron coughed in my face or something. So yeah, that's kind
of
hard to avoid.
Once you have a kid with something like that, there is nothing you can do, because they, like, you just have to pray and wash your hands, because they will stick their fingers, their gross fingers, like, all up in your face. And at least Aaron's a little older, but Lorelai, there's no running from that. Like,
no.
She just, no telling what she's touching during the day. And then she just puts her hands in your face. And it's really terrible.
It's gross.
It's so gross.
But we have been watching Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, yes, we have.
Even though we haven't put out an episode about each episode, this is kind of our recap of season one.
Yes.
Including the season finale.
Ooh, and spoiler time.
Shields up. Red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah. That was a warning. It was awesome. So if you haven't seen Star Trek Discovery, any of it, we're going to cover the whole thing. So go binge it and then listen to this episode. I know there's a hang up with how much it costs. It still irritates Angela and I that we have to pay for Star Trek, but it's such a great show. And if you can get the trial, you could still binge watch all the episodes and then end it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm so excited because it really is such a good show. And I don't feel bad about how I felt about it at the beginning, because...
But it was intentional.
I know.
They wanted us to feel
that way. I know. But I don't feel bad about being mad about the money either. I feel like it's proven its value in some ways. I am a little nervous about what this means about the future of television and entertainment.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm more worried about, is that already I feel like, because I don't get Hulu, and there's a lot of good shows on Hulu I'd probably like to watch, but I just have decided I don't want to spend that money. You know, I have my money that I decide to spend on this stuff, and I've spent it, you know? And so I'm going to have to make more and more decisions like that, where I decide something is worth it and something's not. But Star Trek is definitely worth it. And they knew that, those jerks.
Yeah, they did. Evil, evil people.
We haven't talked about it since the...
I know, since it returned.
Since it
returned. Went on this break. Yeah. Should we cover some of the emails that we got that are short? Because some of them were talking about episodes that were in the first half of the season that we covered. And I think we went to Con and RinFest, and we have not done like an email.
We haven't done yet. Any like episodes. So we've been terrible.
Haven't been terrible. We've just been surviving.
That's really, really true. Which one do you want me to read? Do you want me to read any of them?
Printing out emails. Here comes the emails being printed out.
Have you looked at the one from November from Father Beast? I think that we did read that one because we were talking about personality traits.
Oh, yes. I do think so.
He had a lot of points about...
We did talk about that one. I swear we did. No, and I remember talking about Captain Malfoy. I remember that Captain Malfoy quip.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but he sent us another one we'll get to a little later. We haven't covered this one from Chris.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Chris. You spell it with a K, so I'm not sure. I'm going to assume that you're a woman. I apologize if you're a dude. So, she has a comment about Lathe. So she says, Jen and Angela, I want to first thank you for discussing individual episodes of Star Trek Discovery. I love the deep dive. I've been trying to figure out why this series feels so different from the rest of the franchise, and I think you nailed it. The moral center has moved a lot. Discovery is a war vessel, not an exploratory vessel, and everything and everyone is bent to that purpose. I don't think Captain Lorca took sympathy on Ash Tyler. He's strategically co-opted a defense specialist with both a deep knowledge and deep hatred of Klingons, one who will be less likely to question Lorca's aggressive commands. By immediately making him an officer, he prevented Tyler from returning to Starfleet for treatment that may have helped Tyler come to grips with his captivity and torture. Lorca is similarly interested in Michael Burnham, a talented officer with a hatred, if that's the right word for a human with Vulcan upbringing, of Klingons. He is forging a team that is ruthless as he is. He is well on his way to becoming one of those renegade captain admirals that we have seen in prior incarnations of the show. Only this time, Lorca and his crew are our good guys. Looking forward to hearing more from you, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, we know a whole lot more now that we've
true,
seen the
we
whole
do.
Season. But yeah, that's the way we were feeling
at the time.
At the time.
I didn't ever really feel like Lorca was a good guy. I mean, I felt like it'll be interesting to see where this goes. And I just loved Jason Isaacs so much. I didn't want it to turn out any other way. I don't know that I ever like bought him. I mean, like he definitely, like Chris was saying in this email, like the moral center moved. And Lorca was obviously not an example. And the thing is that I like Burnham's character, and it's very she's very complex and everything, but she's not so good at the decision making, and it really didn't get much better.
I think she changed a lot.
I didn't say that she didn't change.
Yeah.
But I do think that one of her flaws, like when she makes decisions based on logic, she makes the wrong decision. And when she makes decisions based on emotion, she makes the wrong decision.
That's a great observation. And also, when you say that she has those kind of flaws, I think they're intentional flaws. It's not flaws in the writing. I know that's what you mean, that it's not flaws in the writing. It's just the character has flaws. She can't be Vulcan, so logic, pure logic, cannot work for her anyway. And she's been raised as a Vulcan, so emotion is difficult for her. So, of course, she's going to be making some weird decisions. Plus, she's just got a huge chip on her shoulder.
Well, I was going to say, like, I think, like, you know, when she was not embracing, when she was in the pure logic zone, and she still wasn't really Vulcan, you know, so at the beginning she causes the problem because she's trying to be purely logical. You know, she sees a problem, she talks to Sarek about it, she realizes there's a logical solution, but that the solution is going to be contrary to everything Starfleet.
Yeah.
And so she decides she's right, and she takes this huge risk, and then it does, and then it completely blows up in her face, literally. And then the risks she takes and the decisions she makes as she grows closer to her human side, she's motivated by, more by her emotions, and that makes her make incorrect. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right. She does. You know, if she had stayed the same throughout, I would have thought she was a one-note character. The intent was to make her change, which makes for great writing. You have to have change in a character for it to be interesting and compelling.
You know, we talked about the episode titles and how there's so much to unpack.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the most important ones for what you're talking about is the third to last episode, What's Past is Prologue. Think about some of the characters we love. Riker, Picard, Janeway. When we find out more about their past, Picard having the Nausicaan fight, just getting out of Starfleet, Riker and that issue that happened with the cloaking technology, and the issues he's had with his father. In TNG, we had a later point of attack on these characters where they had already learned and grown from their past experiences. But it's shown as the TNG goes on, and Voyager and DS9 and all the, even TOS, even though things seem perfect, these people have past, and that was their prologue. What this is doing in drama terms, What's Past is Prologue, means that this was a late point of attack. They're showing you what happened before in these characters' lives, before they became the kind of Star Trek heroes that we think of. They're yes. actually showing you things that they first. Only hinted at. Mm-hmm. The writers are telling us this. They're saying, we're not just telling you the backstory in snippets. We're actually showing you this backstory.
Yes. It was a refreshing way to start a series. We got swept up in the moment from the beginning because we didn't know what the heck was going on. Why? How is this going to work? This is not a real Starfleet officer. You know, I know those were comments that a lot of people had, and they stuck around to see what would happen. And I think it paid off. Now I really want to know what happens next because yeah. it seems like the future is so bright, we have to wear shades.
It's funny you say that, though, because remember one of my complaints about the very first episodes? She was in that chamber getting judged, and it was all like the
dark
lighting, and yeah. it looked like, you know, to me, it felt very like dark and sinister. In this last episode, mm-hmm. in the last episode when they're in the, you know, we're all spoiler, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We already warned.
Okay. So like in the last episode where they're just all getting their commendations and everything, the lighting is like totally Star Trek. Now they don't have like the color, the Technicolor uniforms or whatever, which whatever, I can forgive that. But the lighting was way more Star Trek-y. It was way more what you feel like. And then also like each episode, speaking of like the Star Trek-iness, is that like, I love when, especially when they first got onto that planet, and then every episode since then, they've had more and more of these kind of completely outlandish logical solutions to problems, which I love and is totally ridiculous. Like, we're going to terraform this dead moon in 15 minutes. Cool. Okay.
Let's do it.
Well, that worked. Great.
I mean, even though it's ridiculous and completely,
but
it's Star Trek,
in our,
and we are more accepting because
yes, because they have shown in the past that this is what works. You yeah. know, Tyler is revealed to be Voke.
You were so right.
I was so right about that.
And I was like, that's ridiculous.
For some reason, in that moment, I was a little bit annoyed. First of all, I'm very proud that I was right and that I saw that and I thought it made sense, whatever. But then there was also two things that were interesting to me that died literally in the same moment when he like had that little switch flip and then he killed the doctor, right? So let me tell you, there's two things that the PR people for this show made a huge deal out of. One was that there was going to be a gay couple. And the next one was that they were going to take a real look at the effects of PTSD with Tyler. And in one moment, they killed both of those storylines. And I was like, well, you killed the gay relationship, which you were so proud of, and then you killed the PTSD thing because even though he may still have torture issues, he has a whole new set of issues that have nothing to do with that, and you can't approach those the same way that you would if it was just a captive.
Yeah.
Anyway, I felt like, oh, you were so proud of yourself by taking this big chance, and halfway through your first season, the two things you were the most proud of are done now in one scene.
He made an appearance in the Mycelium Network.
But he's dead. He even says he's dead. He says he's gone.
I don't know if you watch After Trek, but they hinted that there may be a possibility that they can reconnect through the Mycelium Network, and it may just have transcended a certain existence. You know what I mean? It's now cognitive, I guess, or spiritual.
I'm down with that. But do you see my point, though, about like what they were making such a big deal out of it? And I'm like, well, okay.
When that happened, I gasped. I was so shocked. The violence of that scene was horrible.
It was very violent. Mm-hmm.
It was shocking. It was not Star Trek. I felt so bad for Stamets.
Yes.
But I don't think it's ended.
That's
so
true.
I kind of fell into that judgmental thing with the Voke, Tyler theories that you tossed out, like, how could he, in that short amount of time, learn to imitate a human?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to imagine what they had in store for that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So I should have just accepted and see what, you know, to see what would happen.
Is that, like, I'm still sort of suspicious is not the right word. I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm a little weary of the idea that they started with, you know, by saying, okay, well, you know, we genetically modified him and now he's Voke, but he's Tyler, but he's both somehow. Okay. But I really do like, again, like with the mycelium, the moon turning into the mycelium, whatever. I am interested in this whole idea of Laurel being, you know, part of this coming together and all of that. Like that's kind of interesting to me. I guess we'll see. And I really like that character. And he's so, like, I think he's good looking.
Tyler?
Yeah. You don't think he is? Oh, I think he's so good looking. And there was something about, like, his earnestness of his nature before, you know, he started killing people. I don't know. I think he has a really interesting energy. And I don't know. I was back and forth about the relationship necessarily.
I thought they rushed that.
I feel like they rushed it too. I feel like I agree. I feel like they rushed it too. But it was interesting to see, you know, what they were trying. They're trying to make a point about her human side, you know, about emotions and stuff like that, and how she needs to let people in and how it was okay that she did let him in.
He was just a way for them to explore those emotions, I think.
True. But then I think that's where that, you know, you bring up that point, but it's also like, well, they made this big deal about the PTSD and they made a big deal about the Klingons can do this weird genetic modifying and everything. I feel like they tried to put too much into one character by him being the love interest and this double agent and this, all this stuff. I feel like it was too much for one character.
It was definitely intense.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing we get, I must ask you, is Philippa Georgiou. Wow. What do you think of that?
First of all, she is one of my favorite captains now. And she was only in a few episodes as Prime Georgiou.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her Mirror Universe character too.
She was so trampy, horrible
and nasty.
So great.
That's just Mirror Universe, you know, everybody's like that. Are there any good Terrans? I don't know.
Well, that was, you know, we were talking about that, and we talked about this in the last episode where I was trying to make theories about Lorca, and I wasn't sure, like, I knew that something was up, but I wasn't sure exactly. The thing is that you're right, because, like, there's bad guys in our universe. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that those guys are good guys? Well, like, in Charmed, they find, like, a literal mirror because it's very specific and very literal. In our universe, in the Charmed world, the fear demon is, like, one of the worst demons. And they run into him in the evil world. And he's, like, all light and sunshine and happy, and he's about hope.
They explored the Mirror Universe several times in DS9, and I think that Chief O'Brien was good in the Mirror Universe.
But they show that Voke was good.
That was bringing people
together.
I liked that.
I thought that was really interesting.
It was interesting to see the conflict between Prime Voke within Tyler and Miravok. Yeah. That was an interesting confrontation between the two of them.
Yes.
I love the updates to the Andorians and the Tellarites. And I like the subtle updates to the makeup where it's not it's a smooth transition.
Yeah, design-wise, you have to be careful about that. I feel like they still went a little too far with the Klingons.
Me too.
I think Laurel is too... She looks too much like an alien from Aliens. So different. So different. I feel like they could have gone a little... I agree with the other ones that they did a better job. I feel like they were just like, a new Klingon? Cool!
We get to do it again. Why not? Everybody else does.
Let's do it better and bigger. And then the head and the...
I liked the kiss boot wearing rocker Klingons from the... films with Kirk and Spock and all of those and TNG
DS9. Oh, I agree. If they would have just done like some, you know, just a small
slight modifications,
tweak, a small tweak to that idea. I actually kind of liked the Klingons in JJ. I know not everybody did. I liked that they had
helmets,
the armor on there. That was kick ass. Sorry. I mean, I didn't like that much about that movie, but I did love that. I thought that was really cool.
The armor for the Mirror Universe was awesome. And I was looking the whole time like, it's the goal of the costume designer in this series to make it impossible for cosplayers to
create
any sort of costume.
Son of a bitch.
They're so difficult. The best we could do is buy a disco shirt and wear some...
I'm cool
yoga
with
pants.
The disco shirt. Now, speaking of the disco shirt, what do we think of Tilly?
I love Tilly. She's my favorite character on the show. And I love her character arc, too.
I love her character arc. And I love that she... I'm a little nervous because I feel like they're hinting. And I saw an After Trek where they were like, oh, well, something from the mycelium like went into Tilly and messed her up. And I'm like, ah... You caught that. You said something about that. And I was like, no, they're just being dramatic. They said something in After Trek about, well, blah, 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 about this like one piece. And I'm like, don't mess with Tilly.
Don't mess up a good thing.
It's like when they made Willow evil. It's like, no, that's Willow. Just leave her alone. We talked about this last night when we were texting. The moment when she walks in, starts talking to Giorgio and then like in the split second realizes that it's like the Terran version. Every single second of the where she goes from the salute and then she's like, don't do that. And then she's like, oh, but it's like every second of her acting in that scene was freaking
it was brilliant.
Priceless. It was so priceless. She was so perfect. Ah, Jen, it was so good.
I could feel the discomfort, and all she had to do was make some faces and do a gesture.
Yes. Full range of, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to meet you. Wait, you're not. Wait, oh no.
Casual hile.
She's like, oh, hi, Zika. That was hilarious. Oh, she's so funny.
It was a very Codex moment.
Oh, it was. It was.
And, you know, I think that is why we are able to connect with the character so much. We identify with her, where she's kind of like the everyman in a lot of scenes where we're like, oh, dude, I would totally be acting like that right now. Yeah.
And she kind of states the obvious, too.
That is the way everyone else should be acting whenever they're eating Saru's ganglia and, you know, things like that, instead of just going with it.
Right.
She's kind of like the release for us. Like, oh, good, somebody thinks it's weird.
As the Greeks called it, the orchestra. She's the voice of the everyman. Another, like, acting thing, which was so subtle because at first you couldn't really tell the difference between Mirror Stamets and regular Stamets because he's kind of an asshole like everywhere.
All the time. Yeah.
And so there's only slight differences. It's more his motives that were slightly different. His personality was pretty much the same, which I thought was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Anthony Rapp and I think he did a good job playing the different characters, but I think it was brilliant to choose to make them pretty much the same. I think they should be because both Stamets's are motivated by science, even though the ends are a little different. They're still motivated by the same thing.
Anthony Rapp brought up a good point during the After Trek show, which I just now got into.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It's been hard for me to really adjust to the host. And I know a lot of people like him.
It's a little much.
It's a little much. I feel kind of
pandered. Sort of jealous of him that he gets to see everybody and he gets to see the show before
maybe
we
that's
do.
It.
And that makes me angry.
Maybe
and I
that's
shoot
it.
Him.
We have to have a bigger podcast to be invited to do something like that.
I know. It would be so
maybe
awesome.
It is jealousy.
It's definitely 60-40. 70-30.
So he says that the Stamets in the mirror universe is the Stamets he would have become had he not met his husband.
Oh,
so his devotion to science and his being like anti-people, that's the way he would have been in prime had he not met his husband.
Oh, that's so nice. I like that. Well, another thing that I thought was funny, and this is like, I don't even know where this comes from exactly. Everyone kept saying something about the breakup between Tyler and...
I didn't need that.
Okay, first of all, I didn't need that. And second of all, I think the breakup was pretty clear once he went all crazy and tried to kill her. I don't think we needed to like go over that. I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward that she doesn't want anything to do with him. It was interesting to get her backstory about why her parents died and why she would have this adversity to the Klingons, which I totally get. Trying to hear that story is important, you know, for her character development. But, you know, once you try to kill me and you actually have turned into a Klingon, essentially, I think it's over. I don't think we need to discuss that, you know?
It would be difficult to be intimate with someone who speaks Klingon that well. Flashes of what he had done would come into your mind during situations that you shouldn't be thinking about, things like that. It's impossible to move on from that point. Mm-hmm. Tilly's support of her was very awesome. I loved that. She encourages her to go wrap it up with him or whatever. Just talk to me. You owe him that much.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that his reaction to her was uncalled for.
Which part?
When she's trying to explain why she cannot be with him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shaking his head. He raised his voice at her and he was being aggressive about it. And I thought, what a jerk. That moment to me was enough to say, end it. Because even if he hadn't killed people, it was that moment that cinched it for me that she should not go back with him because he was rejecting her feelings about it. One of our listeners, will read his comments later about this. He brought up a very good point. It was like too close to an abusive relationship. He was very glad that she had made that decision. I was like, you know, you're so right. That's what I was feeling. The tension I was feeling in that moment was a kind of an abusive relationship, you know, coming to an end.
No, it's just so interesting because like, I guess I didn't have that reaction, not because I don't agree with you, but because I was just so like, I thought it was so weird. People kept calling that scene the breakup. The breakup already happened in my mind. Why do we have to discuss this? You tried to kill me and we're done. I just thought it was so weird that the narrative was, oh, well, that was a breakup. That's not a breakup. That's a, just so we're clear.
Yes, that's true. The breakup.
You turned into the enemy and you actually tried to kill her. I don't think there's any going back from that. Like there's not any going back from that.
No.
With him, not with him, you know, and I like him, you know, I like the Tyler character, but, and also because like if Vogue is still in there in any way, shape, or form, it can happen anytime.
It's always going to be in the back of her mind.
And Laurel was the one who did everything. So how do we know? You know, we don't know what she did.
And we don't know if he still has feelings for her.
And then also, why did Starfleet let him go? He has knowledge, intimate knowledge of Starfleet secrets.
Why does Starfleet do anything in this show? I mean, they made some stupid,
really horrible decisions.
Stupid decisions, but I guess that's what happens when you're almost completely wiped out and you're making desperate decisions.
Well, and the other thing is that's funny decisions. That somebody brought up, and I had thought about this as well, is that like there is this narrative through Star Trek, TNG, especially, I think, maybe Voyager and DS9. Like the further you get up in the food chain in Starfleet, you get more corrupt and more corrupt. And basically, like anyone with more power than Picard is basically a total dumbass. They just cannot figure out how to do anything. So it's a wonder Starfleet still exists.
Maybe it's just my philosophy on politics, but I feel that's reality.
You know, why?
The higher up you get in any system of government or military or anything, the people pounding the ground are the ones that are doing the actual important work. The ones above are just in it for power.
Yeah. I, you know, when I saw the preview like from the second to last episode to the last episode, showing that somehow Philippa was going to help them. I don't mind how it turned out. I really don't. But I was kind of hoping that somehow there was a core of her that wasn't necessarily like totally evil, you know, because Starfleet is about coexisting, but it is a lot of humans, you know, and that she would just be like, look, I'm stuck here, but what I do know is how to fight Klingons, and here's how you do it. And that it would be something better than genocide. You know what I mean? Like somehow she would have like a plan that was better than that. Like it would be more like
but a... But how? Because that's all she's known.
No, I
that,
know.
That is how she ruled.
I realize that. But I'm just saying, like, because there are some ruthless military leaders in our history who still were excellent tacticians, who were brutal, but they were also cunning. And the things they did made sense. And it wasn't necessarily all genocide. You know what I mean? Like, I was kind of hoping that she would come in with some kind of, like, brilliant idea that did kill a lot of people, but was still something better. It seems, like, too simple. I wanted her plan to be more complicated, I guess. like, oh, I know. I don't know how to explain it.
I have similar feelings, but with regards to, you know, the whole blowing up Kronos thing, I saw it as a parallel to the A-bomb. You know, that we dropped on Nagasaki.
It
kind of leaves you with the fact that we were at a really desperate point of,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, we have to end this empire. They're so devoted to mm-hmm. their cause. They're never going to stop. Mm-hmm. It is horrible. Mm-hmm. That was what they did to stop mm-hmm. the war. Mm-hmm. And so I see it as that's what Starfleet was thinking. We have to throw a Hail Mary. And
yeah.
Philippa was their Hail Mary. And she was like hiring Hitler to do a job, you know? And Hitler's like always our go-to, but like there's so many other ruthless dictators
yes.
in the world and horrible people in the world we can go to. I'm so tired of people using Hitler as an example. But
yeah, but Hitler's easy because you know, you say Hitler.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows yeah. what you mean. I mean, there are definitely, yeah, there's definitely
so,
a long
yeah,
list.
We could think of her as Philippa because she did eat ganglia and you know he had
Ugh.
People's hides as lampshades, so there's a similarity, but as far as that goes, that's what I think. But I agree in other ways, because I think when they used her
mm-hmm.
it was so brief a time, it was almost not worth it
yeah.
to use her in that way, because I thought, well, this is a lot of tension. Is she going to change? Is she going to, or is there going to be a struggle? Is there going to be like a mutiny?
Also, like, you know, did she look at, is she going to try to like pretend to be the other, like, is she really going to try? She didn't even try.
She didn't even know
which
how.
Which I kind of liked.
Yes.
Well, we didn't really talk directly about Lorca. I'm so sad about it, but I think it was worthy, you know.
I do too. There's just no way that guy's coming back.
No, I'm so sad. That's terrible.
But
and
I still am sort of confused as to what his motives were, because at first I thought he may have been a part of the resistance and he was in the Prime universe to
so.
Try to find a way to save their universe, but. Then they threw a curveball that I didn't like, where he was just after power, and it kind of took something away. Do you think
mm-hmm.
that from the whole building up of why he was the way he was,
mm-hmm.
it really, his whole purpose was to throw us off course and make mm-hmm. us wonder why this Star Trek was so dark and horrible and why this captain was the way he was. And
mm-hmm.
he really just wanted to exact revenge on Giorgio, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of dissatisfied with that approach.
I am
with
too.
His character. And
yeah,
I don't want to... I feel horrible saying that because as a whole, this season was shockingly good. I didn't
mm-hmm.
expect it to be this good. But like I said, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There
mm-hmm.
are things that I didn't like, and this is one of them.
I agree with you completely. I felt like it was a lot of work for... something kind of bizarre, you know, like it didn't really seem to make any sense, like that he was motivated that much. I don't know. I agree. The other thing is, completely off the topic, is when did the mind meld become a lie detector test? Like, because that just sort of happened.
they had to use it. Desperate times call for desperate measures. But and especially without consent from someone else, because they've established over the course of several other series that you don't just go doing mind melts. When T'Pol was, you know, on Enterprise, there was a sect of people who did mind melds, and then there were others who were like, that's nasty. You don't do mind melds. It's just, you don't cross that line. And now in this universe, I mean, in this series, he's just willy-nilly.
He's just willy-nilly mind-melding with everybody
by
around.
The face and going
grabbing
to town.
People by the face and going to town. So you get what I mean.
Yes,
it's sort of
I do.
Weird. Sarek's just doing his
I
thing.
I wonder, I would love to see that explored, like the transition from the way it was when T'Pol was around to how it is now in this series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and even the way it was treated in TNG was more reverent, you know.
Yeah,
it was, like
it was
an
very
exchange
much.
Of,
it was
a
very much yes, something
very
and then,
intimate.
Remember the episode where Troy gets mind raped? Do you remember that?
Uncomfortable.
Like,
I hate when she gets
so
they mind rape her
they,
too much.
They rape her all the time, is what they do. It's very uncomfortable. That's okay. Don't worry. We're in a post Harvey Weinstein world. We're not going to see that again.
It bothers me on other levels. For
so many levels, Jen, on all the levels. Anyway, my point is that's something where she even talks about. She talks about Vulcans and she talks about Betazoids. That there's Betazoids who would do like there's like a history of that in other cultures. You know, yeah, it's possible to do that, but it's frowned upon to just like force yourself into another person's brain, which is good that that's frowned upon. You know, it should be.
On Enterprise, T'Pol was also mind raped, but they approached it differently. It was more of a PSA, I guess, about rape. Also, she later in the season ends up with a disease because of it.
Oh, my God. I felt like they were being kind of blasé about the mind meld.
But I can understand it's getting
well,
to
in
a
the
point
situation,
where they just had to know who was bad and who was good. But it did, like, I agree. There was no, are you okay with this? You know, if it's just like straight across the deck and grab him by the face.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Okay, so the most interesting thing that happened is the very last frame of the last episode when the Enterprise shows up out of warp. What do you think?
I'm excited to see how they handle that. I'm really excited.
I'm and into it.
It was beautiful. The updates to the ship and the music.
Yes.
Thing. It was kind of like, music. I can exhale now. I can exhale.
Yeah.
It's Star Trek.
It's Star Trek. You're watching Star Trek now.
They said in After Trek that they always knew that they would end with that scene.
Oh, that's cool.
We're always proud of the Trek fans who throughout the series were saying, these people are not acting like Starfleet. This isn't right. What's going on? This is not my Star Trek. And they were proud of them for noticing and picking up on that because it was going from dark to light.
It was part of the story.
It was part of the story.
That's interesting. I like it. I like it. I mean, I am interested. And I have a couple of theories. First of all, I don't think if they do show any of the actors, they're not going to have anybody we know. I don't think they're going to get Pine or Quinto or any of those people. I think if they do, they're going to go a different way with it. My thought, honestly, is that they're not going to show them. I mean, and remember, it's Pike. And it's
number one.
Yeah, so that can be anybody because it's been several different types of actors have been Pike, so it could be anybody. And it may just be a hail, and it's maybe a conversation. I don't mind a little bit of connection now and then without having to actually show anything, but we'll see.
The writer said the whole reason that it's there is to help explain why Michael is never mentioned by Spock. But someone joked, I guess it was the host that I'm trying to get used to, joked that Cybok is also a half-brother that no one talks about. So, you know, it's easy to believe that he wouldn't talk about Michael either. But I think that you're right that they may, like, downplay maybe that. We'll mostly see number one and Pike, and then we might see Michael and Spock through a communication. And it might even be Zach Quinto. It'll be like a if they can get the quality of actors they have on this show, they can have a cameo appearance from Zachary Quinto. I think it's possible.
Oh, I'm not saying that. First of all, I think maybe he's aged out of being that
he
age
is.
Of Spock.
I think you're right. But
that's
they do a lot these days with CGI. So
that's very true. It just depends on how they decide to use it. And the other thing, which is like so ridiculously stupid, but you and I were talking about it, is that it's so cute to see Sonequa on After Trek because she's so serious, you know, being like brought up Vulcan. And she's just the warmest personality, you know, in person, like seeing her on the show and just that big smile. And, you know, she's just so warm and adorable. You know,
I like
and
it's that she so, loves, she's embraced it as much as she has.
Yes,
it's obvious.
She has. Oh, of course. And also, it's that interesting thing that, and I saw Saru do it, not as much Anthony Rapp, but remember that thing where when Scott Bakula talked about Quantum Leap, he used I?
Yes, yes.
And not all of them, because Anthony Rapp, I think, is just more, he's just more of a veteran actor that he just doesn't do that. But it's not like a, oh, my character did this. It's I did this. So I think I feel this way, you know? And she does that. She does.
One thing that that might be is just an approach. Because when I was taking voice lessons, my coach constantly corrected me whenever she'd say, now, what is your purpose right now in this scene? And I'd be, well, my character wants to. And she's like, no, it's I want to, because you can't play the part correctly if you refer to them as someone else. It's you. You are that person. So I think maybe some people are just...
I mean, there are different approaches to the technique. And the thing is that the way acting works, honestly, is that it doesn't matter how you get there. It doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get there. And I've known actors that I've worked with and seen who completely like got so into the character that they acted weird for weeks.
Yeah.
Okay,
Johnny Depp
style. I had a good friend in college who was like doing
method
acting. Total method acting, you know, where they would just break down after every show if it was really. And then I know people who would literally go do the most brilliant scene and then walk off and be like, ah. You know. So it really depends on your personal method. And and the thing is that those approaches come with training, usually, depending on your training. If she has found that that has worked, I am really more, as a director, I'm more is of the thought of whatever gets you there. And I am not a fan, honestly. And we talked about this during our Suicide Squad episode.
Oh, yes.
That I am personally not a fan of going too far into the method acting, because I think after a while, it's just sort of this emotional masturbation. That's really extreme, but that's what it is. It's just you giving yourself an excuse to be a jerk face or to like explore feelings. You have no reason to be sitting in. You don't need to be sitting in those feelings. They're not yours. They're somebody else's. So go do your scene. Come back.
Yeah. Sometimes they take it too far, but I don't think she does at all. She just, it
no,
makes,
she's so cute.
She is so earnest. And
she is.
And I suspect she's not been a Star Trek fan all her life, but it's obvious to me that she is not Chakotay guy, you know, like embarrassed to even be associated with it.
I feel like
everyone in that cast has a good relationship with one another. They love what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they appreciate the people who appreciate what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that Patrick Stewart has shown how you be a star of a franchise. Or even Daniel Radcliffe, you know, if you want to go a little younger, a lot younger. You accept it and you're happy for everything that you get from being able to be, you know, part of these big franchises. And then you do your other work. You just go do your work. Are there going to be 3,000 people that happen to see Hamlet this year because they love Picard? Great. That's 3,000 more people that see Hamlet. Or if a bunch of random indie movies get made because Daniel Radcliffe decides to be in your indie movie and people come see it just to see Harry Potter naked, great. Then you get to make more indie movies. You know what I mean? So it's like that's the way you are in a fan show. And trying to reject it just makes you look like a jerk.
Yes. She also got very emotional over certain scenes and messages from other cast members. So I don't know. I just like her as a person.
I really
want to
see her and the actress plays Philippa like together.
Yes. I want to see more of her. I went and saw, what was that martial arts movie that came out in the 90s that she was in? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Because I was into
martial arts. I was competing in college and stuff. And so I really enjoyed that film that she was in. And mm-hmm. so when I found out she was going to be in Star Trek, I was already excited. But she has exceeded my expectations. Yeah, she's such a great actress.
She really
and she
is.
Brings a lot of weight to
yes.
that character. In the briefest amount of time that we see her, she makes such an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad that Mirror Giorgio escapes.
Yeah, me too.
And I know she's going to be coming back. She'll be like Hugh. That comes
yeah.
back and haunts them from time to time.
I don't mind. I mean, obviously she's not a good person, you know, and who is she without this entire world that's like her? Will she be motivated by something else? I don't know. Anyway, it's...
Be a pirate.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe she'll find mud.
Oh, gosh, that would be hilarious.
But I did... It was interesting when they were in that one... What was it? That one scene when they... After they came back and they're like, well, we're going to... All of this is classified and blah, blah, blah. We won't jump again and everything. And I was like, okay, well, that at least explains why we've never heard of this. But then they go and terraform that moon. And I'm like, well...
Can't hide that.
You cannot hide that. But
so
it is a really
is the jump,
big universe.
Is the drive broken?
No, the drive's not broken.
Okay, so...
They jumped again. But the thing is that it's dependent... Well, you have to have the spores, the mycelium, and you have to have stamets.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
Good working
so you
condition.
Can't really ethically reproduce that kind of technology.
Right. Yeah. I mean, eventually they're going to have to explain how that technology doesn't exist anymore.
Maybe the moon gets attacked.
Who knows? Well, we'll see.
Out.
We have 10 years, you know.
Should we read another email?
Yes.
Here. Give us
do you want
transition?
Me to do it?
Yeah, the next one is for you, actually.
It is.
I've already addressed his question, but you need to answer it now.
Okay. I'm a big fan of the show and have been to listen to the series over the past 3 months or so. Oh, cool. I am currently listening to the Mother's Day episode. In 2017, I had a question that was mentioned.
Wait, pause. That's the Roxana Troy episode, if you're wondering.
Oh, yeah. What exactly did Angela's Oma mean when she said that back in the day in the country, there are a lot of babies born in 6 months with the explanation, well, it's a long ride back from town to the ranch back from town. Okay, you answered it already in the email because you knew what I meant.
Yeah, this is from Dario. I did.
Oh, from Dario. Yeah. Sorry. So Dario... I know that Jen already answered you, but anyone else who might be curious, when babies were born in 6 months, it meant they were born 6 months after someone got married. And so the intention was to say that the babies were actually 9-month babies, but no one was having relations before they got married. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. they were consummating their relationship before they got married. And the babies were only born 6 months after the wedding day. The long ride back to the ranch, it means, you know, when you take your beloved back home, maybe you got up to things you probably shouldn't have.
Well,
on the way
also,
back.
I don't think a lot of people understand the way it was back when your Oma was mm-hmm. Younger in this area of Texas. A lot of the roads were dirt. Mm-hmm. And the vehicles were not able to get over.
Yeah, and sometimes they would...
it took a long time to drive down dirt roads.
It took a long time, or you would
trucks.
Be stopped.
Yeah, and there weren't places along the way to, you know, have lunch or, you know, not many.
Yeah,
not
you got
to
do
so
something.
So you had to stop and have your picnic, and then afterwards, you know, you might have a little kissy-kissy time. That's what that meant.
It's funnier when Oma says it. Yeah. Not you. Not that you...
You got to have her record that.
Like, I will.
Like that story.
I should do that.
Get a little clip of her saying that.
Yeah, I'm going to see her next week, so
you should
I
take
should
your Zoom
do that.
And record it. Tell
she's
her it's
so
not a taser.
Funny. It's a long ride back to the ranch. Yeah, she's funny. Okay.
So thank you. Thank you, Chris. We thank you so much. And thank you, Dario. We're glad that you both are listening and enjoying what you're hearing. We have two more, and then we have voicemail. So we'll quickly do these.
Okay.
This one's from Amber, and I think we already kind of answered her with a, I don't know, shrug.
Yeah.
She says, it's a little early, but I'm planning my vacations for next year, and I'm earmarking time for Wizard World Austin in 2018, but only if Anomaly will be there. I figure you'll probably mention it on the podcast, but if you think of it, can you let me know when you decide either way? I won't buy a con ticket till I hear you will be there. I'm enjoying Girl Tribe Gaming, which is a podcast I've recommended before. It's an awesome show. Check them out. Zen and Jen hosts that show. Even though I don't play a lot of games, I enjoy hearing folks talk about them, which is also why I listen to Pixels, another podcast she likes. So that's from Amber. Thank you, Amber. Would you like to address this?
We don't know yet because I don't think Wizard World has decided if they're going to do Austin, and if they do, when. So once we know what we're going to do, we will let you guys know.
Yes, because we have to wait for them to tell us what's going on. But I did see that they're going to be working with a studio to create indie sci-fi fantasy movies.
That's cool.
So they're not gone. They're around still. Okay, one more. Do you want to do this one? This one's from Father Beast again.
Okay, hello, Anomalies. Oh, this was recently.
Yes, he just sent this one.
Okay, not doing a proper introduction this time. Just a quick note to say, since my wife and I just got caught up in Star Trek Discovery last night with the penultimate episode, The War Without the War Within, while there is certainly a lot to talk about concerning the season and episode, I wanted to focus on a conversation between Michael Burnham and Ash Tyler towards the end of the episode. The conversation is about where their relationship goes after him trying to kill her while being someone else. As I was watching this, I was freaking out because this is exactly the conversation had between an abused woman and the man who abused her, asking her to take him back. It even contained the classic, "It wasn't the real me, and please give me another chance." Interesting. That the guys in this situation always say. I was hoping against hope that she would not allow the sci-fi circumstances to encourage her to get back together with him. I was so glad that she left him alone and walked away. Because ultimately, the peculiar sci-fi circumstances don't matter. The reality about relationships is that they happen because both people want it to happen, not because one party has done a checklist and the other party is required then to participate. This applies to all levels of the relationship, from first meetings to couples, after years of togetherness. To repeat, it happens because both parties want it to happen. And any reason, from feeling uncomfortable for reasons unknown to a history of abuse, is a valid reason to walk away. Just my thoughts. Wow. Pretty much what you said.
Well, yep. I kind of felt that way. And then after his email, it was like he put it in the words for me, I guess, in proper context, because I did feel so uncomfortable in that scene. And I think he just kind of, in this email, explained why I felt uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I just thought his insights were really good on that. So thank you, Father Beast. One of these days, you will tell us what your real name is. Just your first name.
All right, are you going to play the voicemails?
Okay, so take it away, Scott.
Hello, Jen and Angela. This is your super fan, Scott, calling from Colorado. Things going on at work and in life, so haven't had a chance to say hi, but of course been diligently listening to you guys. I have not mentioned to you, I don't think, about any of your Star Trek shows. Been trying to, of course, watch them and watch them before you guys talk about them. Just to kind of let you know about my thoughts, I remember seeing the original series back when they were in syndication. Remember seeing, of course, the first of all the movies in their original theatrical run. Even saw the re-released Wrath of Khan, because you've got to see that in the theater. Even if you've already seen it, got to see it again. Star Trek Discovery, when I saw the first episode, of course, knowing what we knew about it, you know, taking place beforehand and all that, the effects that they used, the very first time I saw it, I was completely pulled out. I did not like it. The characters were good, but I had to make myself believe, hey, this is something completely different, and just go with it. And I couldn't think, this is going to lead into Shatner and Nimoy and that whole group. But as I started watching the other episodes, I realized if Roddenberry was alive, this is what he would do. Using the current tech and improvising on it and pushing the envelope as to what it could be. Roddenberry was not stuck and saying, oh, hey, you know, this is what it's going to be. I mean, we're using cell phones now that mimic what he was saying, communication devices back then were going to end up being, to what they are now. So yeah, I've really grown to like and appreciate it for what it is and how they end up bridging it. If they end up bridging it, I'm along for the ride. Let's see where this goes. I love the fact that they're doing Klingon with the subtitles. I like that. As far as the last episode, I think Samus was overtaxed. I'm even wondering if, because he admitted in one of the other earlier episodes, he realizes he's not in the normal time stream.
Poor guy, cut off on him again. And anyway, thank you, Scott, for sending those. The number is 432-363-4742, and it gives you like 2 minutes, and then it cuts off. I think maybe 3 minutes, actually, before it cuts off. So be aware, that's your time limit. But you can call back as many times as you want. So as much as I liked seeing, I don't know that I loved the Klingons in this show, I did. I thought that things were interesting with the war, the things that were going on, and these were not our father's Klingons.
The thing that I thought was interesting that was brought up in the like later was the thing about honor, that the Klingons have a big deal about honor, and I feel like with the infighting and stuff, it didn't really come to that, and maybe Laurel will help that happen.
Yeah, I think that. What happens with her at the end, I'm glad that she ended up being in charge. Yeah. I thought that she should have been in charge at the beginning, you know, because she seems, even though she was supportive, I guess, she seemed like the rational one until what happens with Tyler happens. And then you're kind of like,
Yeah, that's a little weird. Well, it's a lot weird.
So... yeah, I am glad the Klingon War is over.
Me too.
We can move on.
Let's get to the discovering.
I like Klingons, but they're not my favorite.
No.
I like them, and I loved Worf and all that, but
people know that about us. It's okay.
Such a thing as too much Klingon.
We don't have to apologize for that.
I love Vulcans. They're my favorite. There might be such thing as too much Vulcan, too. So if you want to email us like the rest of you, like Dario and Chris and Amber and Father Beast, you can do that by emailing us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or you can go to our website at anomalypodcast.com and contact us there. Mm-hmm. So the end of the season, how do you think it wrapped up? If you have any suggestions for episodes, please write in and let us know what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. We always love hearing from you, and we do try to incorporate your ideas into shows. So give us a ring or drop us a line and let us know. And of course, you can join our Facebook group and like our Facebook page. It's kind of our forum, and we hang out there.
Yeah.
And
people still post.
They
I see
do.
Posts. Every day.
We have some
multiple posts.
Uh-huh. Sarah's day. Always posting there, and David's always posting there. Not my David. Hot dog. That's what he goes on by on Twitter, or he used to. But come hang out with us there. We need to get together and do another video.
I was just thinking that. I was thinking this would be a good video, but then you got the super plague.
It was so good that we did not get together because
that
would have been.
I don't want the super plague.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Anomaly. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
If you want to hear more about Star Trek Discovery, be sure to check out our previous episodes. You can find them all in the Anomaly Podcast feed or by searching for them at anomalypodcast.com. Download episode 671 of Treks in Sci-Fi. Hopefully, Angela will be joining me as a guest in this roundtable episode that Rika will be recording tonight, Saturday, February 17th, and releasing tomorrow, Sunday, February 18th. If you like Anomaly, subscribe to the show, share us with your friends, and give us a positive review on iTunes. Thanks for listening.